You're watching Network Radio. Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
You ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen to it.
A new world order.
My name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, with a man who many, including myself, regard as the greatest historian of the royal family the world has ever known. His views are highly unconventional. He's very controversial, but he's extremely learned and erudite and has a great deal more to tell us today. Greg Hallett, welcome back to The Real Deal.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here. A lot's happened. As usual, we had the attacks in Paris, which were faux attacks, and they were done on the 11th of the 13th of 15, which is code for look at things sequentially and look at the prime, as in the number 11 is prime and the number 13 is prime. That is, they can't be divided by 2 or any other number. So we're looking at prime meridians and prime monarchs as codes in the Paris attacks. And most interesting about the Paris attacks is Queen Victoria was conceived on the 18th of August 1818, which has 4/8 in it. Now, I struck Queen Elizabeth II with a black wand on the 17th of August 2015, which has 3/8 in it. And then 88 days later, we have the Paris attacks, and they paint an 8 on the floor. So the code appears to be 8888, 888, 88, and 8, which is 10 8s. And that's crucial. And then the codes that they've very obviously used and the newspaper has used is the Three Musketeers theme or meme. And the Three Musketeers is, there's actually four Musketeers. The fourth Musketeer is Charles de Batz d'Artagnan, who became the head of the French military, and he was pulled out of retirement at age 26 to sire King Louis XIV because King Louis XIII was shooting blanks, the same as the so-called Paris attacks, which was actually a gullibility shock test to divide the population and see who would fall, who would go to the emotional sympathetic side, and who would look at it and see that it was just dummies under the sheets and dummies who were killed and fake blood and crisis actors. And the whole thing was really a sham, exposing Queen Elizabeth II as a fake, Prime Minister David Cameron as a fake, Chancellor Angela Merkel as a fake, British Prime Minister Francois Hollande as a fake, and the whole EU is a fake because there is no president of the European Union. That title doesn't exist. There's four presidents of the Council of the European Union and the committee, etc., but there's no president of the European Union. So the whole thing, the whole Paris attacks was a very obvious codified sham, and the code showed that Queen Elizabeth II is a fraud, and that was done through the numbers. So I sent you a document outline. It's about 21 pages, which I'll post. I've posted the first 12 pages on my Facebook, but it's quite clear. So if I show you here, you can see the Bataclan Theatre, and you can see that there's a figure eight drawn in blood with the dummy bodies.
It was a figure eight. I thought initially it was a heart, but it's clearly done with a mop. I mean, this is ridiculous and transparently staged.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, the main thing is that the main attacks happened in the Bataclan Theatre. And the Bataclan Theatre was opened in 1865, and it's named after the Bataclan Operetta, which was first shown in 1855. And the theory of the Bataclan Theatre, the theme of it, or the Bataclan Operetta, the theme of it is that there's three French people dressed as Chinese. And one of the French people accidentally kills the five most important people in France. And then a letter is delivered to him on a silver platter, and the letter says, "You are now the emperor." And all you have to do to actually be the emperor is offer the people a means of escape. Now, in the same year, in 1855, five Rothschilds died, were killed or died. So it was a play which was shown at the end of December, which actually showed, which it was Art Imitates Life. It was actually based on real events. So my contention is that the fake 25 bodies in the Bataclan Theatre refers to the Bataclan play. The fake blood is showing that Queen Elizabeth II is fake blood. She's flat lie royal. She's illegitimate by both parents, and she and her family do not have consanguinity. That is, they're fake blood. They're not real royal blood. So that was shown and focused for all the world to see. And it was for all the world to see with the 10 eights in motion. Queen Victoria conceived on the 18th of August, 1818. The striking of Queen Elizabeth II with a black wand on the 17th of August, 2015, and then 88 days later, an eight painted on the floor of the Bataclan Theatre in fake blood. Now, in the Bataclan play, a letter is delivered to the Frenchman, the lead, and it says, "Assemble and claimant to the throne." Now, I own that letter in real life, just as art imitates life. I own the letter. There's a seal of Queen Victoria on the back, the letter's inside, and here it is here in volume one of The Hidden King of England, published in August 2014. Here's the letter in such a way that you can read it, and here's the translation. And here, it's in French there, and in English here, and it says, "Assemble and claim it to the throne." So I'll just show you, there's the letter, front and back. That's the letter as you see it. It's dated 1850, 17th of March. That's the letter again. That's Queen Victoria's thumbprint in blood, in period blood. So it's got her DNA, her starfire, and her blood. So she's marked it as best she could as a letter saying, "Assemble and claim it," which is handing someone a letter saying, "You are now the emperor or the king or the monarch," on a silver platter. Now, this letter was handed to me in 2012, again in 2013, and again in 2014. And then in 2015, the gullibility shock test, or the fake false flag, is done in Paris. And the theme is, it's that they painted the final eight in fake blood on the floor here. And the theme is handing a person a letter and giving him the kingship on a silver platter.
So you believe this has some significance for the proper legitimate entitlement to the throne?
Yeah, yeah. It does. And there's a whole series of codes that go with it. And at the end of the 21-page document, I break the codes. So it launches the House of Joseph in 3D and in time and in four dimensions.
This is quite a formidable document, Greg, may I say. This is a very detailed, rich, and comprehensive. I was blown away.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. If I just sort of relax into it and talk about the Three Musketeers theme or meme and the codes and the way they laid out the bombing to signify the Trinity and to signify, and the dates is also a royal tryst, which illustrates that Charles D'Artagnan sired King Louis XIV, and therefore Louis XIV was illegitimate, and Queen Victoria was sired by Baron Jacob Mayer de Rothschild on the 18th of August 1818, who's French, Paris. And it's about showing that Queen Elizabeth II is Paris because her mother is not a mother and her father is not a father, and she's actually half Irish and a quarter American. Queen Elizabeth II is half Irish and a quarter American. Queen Victoria was half French and half German. Edward VII was pretty much English. George V was half Danish and half Russian. George VI was English. Queen Elizabeth II is half Irish and a quarter American. Prince Charles is English. Prince William is half Spanish. And the newly born Prince George is full Norwich from the north of Norfolk. Neither Prince William's child nor Kate Middleton's child. Kate Middleton's never been pregnant. So what I'll do is I'll... If you've got this document here?
Yes, yes, I'm looking at it.
I'll post that on Facebook so you can help me read bits if you want. It's such a detailed document. If I read through the whole thing, you'd get it, but it's a bit boring, you know, when someone reads, unless they're a really good reader. So the theme of this cover photo here, this is the Times London. Well, it's the Times UK, might be the East Anglia version, and it is it shows four blue-black police and one blue police, right? And the code, and they've got helmets on. The code for that is all for one, and then you've got one blue civilian and one for all, which is the Three Musketeers theme. And that's on page one. And then on page four and five, you've got four blue-black police and one police in a blue shirt and one blue post.
Greg, you're not showing the right image.
Yeah,
I'm on four. And it's set up differently. Second Paris attack foiled as police close in on the left.
Yeah, that's right. Here it is here.
Yes, yes, yes. That's what I'm looking at on page four.
That's page four and that's page five. So all 4-1 and one for all, one for is five.
Yes.
So on page one, there's four blue-black police and one blue police,
yes.
One blue civilian. On page four and five, there's four blue-black, one blue policeman, and one blue post. Right? So they're really talking about all 4-1 and one for all. Now, the code for that is that King Louis XIII virtually ignored his wife, and Queen Anne produced four stillbirths in 1619, 1622, 1626, and 1631, which are 3, 4, and 5 years apart. And then the paramount fourth musketeer was brought in out of retirement, age 26, to sire with Queen Anne, who was Portuguese, Spanish, and Austrian, to sire a child with her. So there were four stillbirths and then one birth that became carried to full term, became King Louis XIV of France. And that's actually where you get all for one and one for all. It's hidden in plain sight.
Oh, I know. It's fascinating. It's just absolutely fascinating.
Okay, right. So what we're talking about, so what they're showing in the Times is royal code, that they're talking about an illegitimate royal and the siring of an illegitimate royal. That's the code for the Three Musketeers. So there's several themes or memes that Queen Elizabeth II is scared of, and they are primarily Peter Pan, Cinderella, the Three Musketeers, and Pindar. And I was walking from Pindar to 10 Downing Street in 2010, and one of these blue-black guys with a machine gun, who's about 6'5", approached me in London, and 2nd of August 2010 at about 11:30 p.m. And it was just after I'd delivered the letter to 10 Downing Street asking Prime Minister David Cameron to facilitate the changeover of monarchy, because we had a stronger claim to the throne, and our claim was actually recognised by Queen Victoria as the strongest claim through this letter, which says assemble and claim it to the throne. Now, that's Queen Victoria's seal on the back. You can see that. So, what's happened is this letter was originally given to me and it was considered blank. Right. So there, you can see the hair is cut out at the bottom, and you can see Queen Victoria's monogram there. And you might be able to make out her blood thumbprint here. I don't know if you can see it in the light. That's her period blood starfire thumbprint. So that, and you can possibly see there with the light, the J. Wattman Turkey Mill 1850 watermark going about this level.
Yeah.
So this letter, which was originally in its invisible condition, that having no legible writing, has turned out to be the assemble and claimant letter, and it's turned out to be the royal holy grail. Right? Because it hands over the kingship to the bearer.
And you're able to make the handwriting otherwise invisible visible by?
I put it on a scanner, and then I saturated the tones in Photoshop. With some professional help, and we saturated it first so that it looked like a treasure map, and then still couldn't read it, and then I went back and saturated it into blue, and in the blue state the writing is legible. So the blue state was absolutely critical. So that's the letter scanned and photoshopped in the blue state, and you can read the familiar French handwriting, and it's written in familiar French.
Yes. And that's where you got the translation in English and so forth.
Yeah. So it says, quietly, as so was the climate in between that occurred to classify the family and to choose Marcos, the favorite prince, never a bastard, yours entirely intimate, assemble and claimant, Victoria Queen, Hanover Gotha, London Kensington, March 17th. And the watermark says 1850. Right? So Queen Victoria used a new watermark every year. So all of the letters were watermarked for that year. Right? So it may have been that the people who wrote the Bataclan operetta actually knew about this letter, because the letter was done on the 17th of March, 1850. Queen Victoria sent it via her first cousin, Prince Don Ferdinand, King Don Ferdinand II of Portugal then. So that's there.
Not those who carried it out, of course, but those who scripted it.
Well, see, what happened was Queen Victoria's...
No. I mean at the theater.
Yeah. The people who wrote the Bataclan operetta, and it was first performed 5 years later, 5 years after this letter, in 1855. And Queen Victoria's biological father was the Baron Rothschild of France, Baron Jacob Mayer de Rothschild, who is... I've been working on this, so I don't know if you can see it, but he is here.
Okay.
There. He's there. Queen Victoria's there. Albert produced no children, then got all the illegitimate children with another Rothschild. And then Queen Victoria comes over here. She married Lion Prince George of Cumberland, who became King George V of Hanover, produced Marquis Manuel, and that's the legitimate line coming down here. And then all the rest of it, all these here, this is illegitimate, like the London Underground symbol. So all of these symbols here show all the illegitimacies. And from Queen Victoria to Prince George, the one that was born a few years ago, there's 22 illegitimacies in the main trunk line. So we're actually looking at a family which is the most illegitimate family in the world when we look at the British royal family. And so what they're doing now is they're codifying that in international events that the whole world focuses on. And they've done that with the so-called Paris bombings, so that everyone focuses on it, so everyone gets a feel of it, and they get to see that it is a non-event. And then they get to see that by the newspapers, they get to see that it is in the Three Musketeers Code and the Fourth Musketeer D'Artagnan, so King Louis XIV, which is pretty important. And that was with Charles de Batz D'Artagnan. And de Batz is a name that comes up that people use as a code. Batz generally means that people are running codes. And the Times has been running codes during World War II, for instance. They were printing newspaper articles, and the BBC was doing music that was in code. And the French Resistance used to listen to the BBC, etc., and they would get the codes during World War II straight away. They wouldn't even have to explain them. But in this case... I got the code straight away, but I needed to explain to others the codes of the Paris attacks. And it's quite laborious doing that, but it becomes really obvious when you get it.
I'm looking at page 6 where you're spelling it out in relation to the photograph.
Oh, yeah, okay. So if we look at this here, this is...
Yes.
Okay, so we look at that there. So first of all, we've got an 8 painted on the floor in fake blood. So that's the exact shape drawn over that and raised up, so you can see that it's an 8. And bearing in mind that the photo was taken from here, back here, so that gives it perspective, but if you look straight down on it, it's more of an 8. And you've actually got here, by the writing there, you've actually got a lone gunman, or a gunman, kneeling on the ground with a gun pointing as though he's maybe shooting the dummies. And they are dummies on the floor, they're reticulated dummies. And he's got another man in blue-black behind him, and there's another 5 or 6 men standing up here, and then another lone gunman there, and another one taking the photo. But the The main thing is that it's in the Bataclan theater, and the Bataclan operetta is code for handed kingship by letter on a silver platter, which is exactly what's happened to me in 2012, 2013, and 2014. And the eight in fake blood on the floor means the non-consanguinity of Queen Elizabeth II. So she's fake blood. She's illegitimate. She's not the daughter of her father, and she's not the daughter of Elizabeth Bell's line. King George VI actually married Elizabeth Bell's line's maid. So there's eight blue-black gunmen. There's eight blue-black balaclava gunmen in the theatre. And Bataclan and Bataclava are very homophonous. And in codes, you look for words that sound the same. Like 10-8 sounds like tenant. And then they really worked this out. There's 25 reticulated dummies on the floor. They cost $480 each. And that adds up to £8,000. British pounds. So they really worked on the number eight. And then the prime monarch codes go, as I said, from Queen Victoria's conception on the 18th of the 8th, 1818. So there's your four eights. And then on the 17th of the 8th of 2015, which is three eights, I struck Queen Elizabeth II with a black wand. And then 88 days later, it's two eights. We have the Paris attacks, and they paint an eight on the floor, which is 1-8. Yeah? Now, 10-8s is homophonous with tenant. 10-8, tenant. And I've been presenting this case here. Here. In the British courts, plus another 100 pages.
That looks more than a ream, Greg.
Yeah, it is more than a ream. That one's 650 pages, so there's another 100 or so pages, so it's about 730 pages in all. So I presented that to the British courts in Worcester, which is where King John I is buried. And the process of going through it's called purifying the sword. So I'm purifying the sword of the King John's, having already purified the sword of Duke of Saxony, Coburg and Gotha. So I've been trying to get the case heard wherein my status is Prince Pretender to the throne and crown of the United Kingdom. Now, if the British monarchy were true blood and not fake blood, they wouldn't worry who was the Prince Pretender to the throne. But what they've done is stop the case being heard by using a compromised judge. He was District Court Circuit Judge Martin Parry, who's admitted to pedophilia, who masqueraded as a High Court Queen's Bench judge, which is completely illegal. And it shows that the EU has control of British courts, because the British courts are absolutely not functioning at all. And when the courts aren't functioning, you don't have a nation. And the reason that Britain doesn't have a nation is because the Queen's fake. And the reason that the religion of Britain, Anglicanism, is failing is because Elizabeth is not an effective head of the church, because she's more Catholic and Jewish than she is Anglican, and she's not who she says she is. So she can't lead anything. You've got a nation without a religion, and you've got a nation without a court, which is no nation at all. And the whole purpose of the European Union is to strip everything out of England invisibly and then visibly. And in doing that, the riskier it gets for the British royal family, the more they're replacing themselves with body doubles, hence the dummies. Yeah? The fake blood and the dummies also represents that the British royal family, it's fake. Are you ready there?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay. So if we look at the bombing sites here, might be a bit hard to see, but there's the bombing sites that have drawn up. This one here.
It's on page 9, yes.
So these ones here are taken out of Wikipedia on the bombing sites. And then this one here is the bombing sites laid up on Google Earth. And this oval object here is a close-up, right? Now, what you've got is you've got this shape here, but you've got the original three bombing sites there, and then you've got 3 kilometers to the second bombing site, and then you've got, that goes to the second of the sixth bombing site. So you've got three bombing sites here near the stadium. That's a three. That's a trinity. And then you've got 3 kilometers to the next bombing site. That's three. That's a trinity. And then you've got second of the six bombing sites. 6 divided by 2 is three. And then you've got 300 meters from the last bombing site to the Statue of the Nation, which is a roundabout with a big French statue.
Greg, they had to invest a huge amount of time to map this out properly numerically.
Well, I think what they did is part of the test of kingship is they give you codes, and will you get those codes? You know, and if you get those codes, then you're another step along the ladder. Not only that, this here is called a Trinovantum, this shape here, and it refers to Splendid Trinity, or basically, if you look at it on an angle, it's 120 degrees, 120 degrees, 120 degrees, and it's a symbol of London. And the old name for London is Trinovantum. Right? So they're saying that this whole bombing is in relationship to London. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, not only that, is the fifth and sixth bombing sites, crossed Dumas Passage. And it was Alexander Dumas who wrote The Three Musketeers. So the code is about the passage of Alexander Dumas as an author, and the passage of the Three Musketeers, and the passage of Charles de Batz, de Calcimol d'Artagnan, who side King Louis the 14th. And his the mother was Portuguese. And that brings us to Lisbon. Now, in Lisbon around the year 2000, Queen Elizabeth II spent £600,000 renovating the British Embassy. And my co-author Francisco took his dog into the British Embassy, and his dog was called Aramis. The Three Musketeers called Aramis, who's youthful, Athos, who's unromantic, Porthos, who's dandy, clothes-minded, and religious. Now, he named his dog Aramis, who's youthful. And he photographed his dog in the British Embassy. And it just had a £600,000 renovation. And he sent those photos to Queen Elizabeth II. And she immediately closed down the embassy and left it as a ghost house. And then rented another embassy for €25,000 a month. So the Three Musketeers theme is very scary to Queen Elizabeth II, because it is about a soldier siring a king, which is what happened with Prince Harry. He was sired by the soldier James Hewitt. Right?
Yeah.
So
some of these singular facts, of course, are going to strike some viewing this like a hammer on the head. For those who are really unfamiliar with details, even of Princess Diana.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's another detail that will strike it on the head. Now, King Louis XIV was born on the 5th of September 1638, which is a Sunday. right? And that's why he was called a Sun King. Because for a royal, every day of the week has a significance. And if you're born on a Sunday, you're a Sun King. So the British royals don't know anything about kingship at all. They actually know nothing about kingship because they're so illegitimate and they've been illegitimate for so long. They don't even hold some of the swords that they should be knighting people with. They don't hold those swords. We hold them. So the British royal family tried to make Prince William a Sun King. So they extracted him from Diana's womb on the summer solstice of 1982, which was a Monday.
Was it a cesarean?
Yeah, it was a forced cesarean where Diana was not in labor and there was no struggle. They just took him out on the summer solstice, thinking that that would create a Sun King, right? But it was a Monday. So, you know, if they...
This is just botched. They can't even manage a cesarean on the proper day.
They're an absolute botched royal family. But here we go. Now, for Louis XIV to be born on the 5th of September 1638, he would have to be conceived on the 1st of December 1637, plus or minus 18 days. So you go back 40 weeks, which is 280 days, and then it's plus or minus 18 days, and that is your conception range for the standard 9-month term. So he's born on the 5th of September 1638, Sunday. So he's conceived on the 1st of December 1637, plus or minus 18 days, which is the 13th of November to the 19th of December 1637. Now, the 13th of November is when these attacks happen in Paris.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and it's 378 years later. Right? Now, so the really...
Somebody had to know something about the true lineage and the royal family and the significance of all of these dates to plan this properly.
Yeah, what happened was my 4-terabyte hard drive, actually my 3-terabyte hard drive backup was stolen and damaged in the post. So I imagine they extracted everything and then handed over a damaged product. That was in December 2014. So I sent another 2-terabyte one and a 1.5-terabyte one, and one of those managed to survive in working order to Germany. So they extracted that information. And then I had another 4-terabyte hard drive with all of my information and my research going back to things like Louis XIV and my briefings on him in 2004.
You know, you mentioned here that the codes work by coincidence. The more coincidences there are, the more the code is confirmed. Often the working of these codes is very intricate. The codes always require a knowledge of history and preferably some inside knowledge. And with that, the codes are broken instantly. But Greg, when you say the codes work by coincidence, you mean apparent coincidence. Obviously, they're not by coincidence at all.
Now, there's no apparent coincidence. The coincidence is there. It's just that you have to notice it. So what happened was...
You mean... See, coincidence means by accident in American. You're talking about correlation. You're not really talking about accidental coincidence. You're meaning that they are deliberately set up to coincide.
Yeah, they are. And if you're looking at the dates 11, 13, 15, you're looking at a serendipitous skip where everything lines up on every step.
And you're talking about coincidence.
Coincidence. I like that. Serendipitous coincidence.
Except it's not serendipitous.
I mean, They planned the whole thing. Right? And like right down to the detail. It's so much detail that, you know, when I was halfway through this, I was thinking, I'll ring Jim and I'll do an interview and I'll just yak it out. And then there was just another whole lot of layers of coincidence that I was thinking today that, you know, maybe you should read a section, then I should read a section, and you should read a section, so we actually get through all the points. And then I was thinking, well, what we'll probably do is discuss a lot of it, and I'll put it up
much better, Greg. I mean, the article is impressive and massively detailed and has to be published. Yeah. But I think the our conversation should be about it rather than be it.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's do that, but also I will do...
There's so many great images for us to discuss here. I think that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
A highlight.
So,
particularly since we're doing a video interview.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. So the main thing about the dates is that the first date that it was possible for King Louis XIV to be conceived was the 13th of November 1637, and exactly 378 years later, we have the Paris attacks in London, which is the 13th of November 2015, 378. Now, the number 8 over 7 means royal, and the number 3 means tryst. Triple, trine, 3, tryst, right? So it means royal tryst, which is royal relationship. So you've got Queen Anne, King Louis XIII, and D'Artagnan in a royal tryst, producing King Louis XIV, with King Louis XIII shooting blanks, the same as the Paris attacks.
Yes.
Yeah? Now, like 8 over 7 yards equals 1 royal yard, right? So if you've got 800 yards between two religious objects, that is 700 royal yards, right? So 8 over 7 equals royal. So what we've got with going back to the newspaper article, what we've got on page 2 is the first photo I've ever seen of a man's bare ass, no underwear on, in a newspaper.
Yeah, I'm rather surprised by that.
Yeah, well, it is surprising. I think it's the first one I've ever seen. Now, there's a British idiom, bare-ass liar, or bare-ass lie. This is a bare-ass lie.
Yeah, you mentioned page 2, but that was in the paper. It's actually on page 8 of the document.
It's on page 3 as well of the document. But that doesn't matter. It's on page 2 of the newspaper.
Why were they hauling him off bare-ass?
He's an actor. He's a crisis actor. He's paid. Well, right next to him is the police. I don't know if you can see this.
Oh, yeah. It says
BRI on the policeman's back. BRI, bare ass, and then it says police. Right? So it means British police, bare ass lie. Yeah? Now, when I was going past Pindar walking to 10 Downing Street on the 2nd of August, 2010, and I was talking to the 6'5" guy in his blue blacks with his big machine gun. He was talking to me about the police and how all of the police in London swear an oath to the Queen and work for the Queen. So when it shows BRI, that means British, and police with a bare ass, it means British police bear us lie, and also British Queen bear us lie. And the police are working for the Queen knowing that she's illegitimate. And the bear us also means mooning. It's a British thing to moon, to show bear us.
Sure.
Moon landings are a hoax. This being a hoax, right? And this newspaper article in the Times is the 19th of December, so it's just 4 days later. And then on top of that, they've got all of these codes which show that David Cameron is a couchant. Now, just before it happened, just before the scenario happened, David Cameron was accused of sticking his dick in a pig's head in a ritual, right? Which means, the French call it couchon, cachon.
Which I thought the pig's head was introduced to conceal his genitalia.
No, it's all in the papers about how someone in his secret society at university, part of the rituals that David Cameron went through was sticking his dick in a live pig's mouth.
Now, the figure in the chair looks to me to be artificial. Am I right?
It's a real pig. I actually showed it to a British aristocrat, illegitimate, but a British aristocrat, and he named the people, the other people involved. He said, oh, that looks like so-and-so, and that looks like so-and-so. You know, these two.
This is pretty kinky and pretty bizarre, Greg.
They're identified aristocrats. You see, what happened was...
This is part of the elite deviants?
Oh, look, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. They are just pedophiles, child murderers, They do the most bizarre things, like they have prostitutes act on stage and then kill them with chainsaws. It's just, you just wouldn't believe it. You absolutely wouldn't believe it. Like, if you got all of the values that we used to have for Parliament and the courts and the monarchy, and if you inverted all of those, you know, then you would actually have an accurate picture. Like, you know, they're covering up Prince Andrew's pedophilia at the moment. They might cover it up, you know, he might not get charged, but it's still lodged in people's consciousness that, like the Bible says, the house of David is perverted. And when the house of David is perverted, I will select a king from a brother nation who overcomes all obstacles. And then we have the Bataclan Theatre with the Bataclan Operetta, where the kingship is delivered by letter on a silver platter, and I'm the one claiming Prince Pretender status through the courts in London, and I've got the letter from Queen Victoria saying assemble and claimant, and I come from a brother nation, New Zealand. So to me, and to a lot of people who've read this stuff, they're going, well, they've actually marked your application, your registration as Prince Pretender to the throne and crown of the United Kingdom with this act.
How was it known to deliver the letter to you?
I was predicted. It's all done on predictions. So Queen Victoria employed a lot of psychics from at least the age of 19, but really it was about the age of 17. And she virtually founded and funded the British Ghost Club Society, which became the British Psychic Society. And occasionally psychic predictions make it into the tradition received. And popes look at predictions and often they copy those predictions themselves and put it into the Despicini papers, which only four people in the world are allowed to look at. So each pope is allowed to write four lines at the end of his life, right? And one of the recent popes in the last 100 years wrote this, which I've got at the bottom of all of the documents. And he wrote...
Pull back just a hair, down a little, or yeah.
He wrote, there is to be no alteration on proportion.
Oh, I see, right at the very bottom.
So I've got that as a footnote on each page. So if you look at the proportion, you see the bold letters, Queen Victoria is conceived on 8888. I strike Queen Elizabeth II on 888. 88 days later, the Bataclan Theatre attacks happen, named after the Bataclan Operetta, and they paint an 8 on the floor.
This is such a stunning interpretation of what's going on here, Greg.
Well, the same,
I don't think anyone else in the world could come up with this.
Well, that's because it's not about them. It's about me. You know, and this particular Paris attack is about handing over the kingship with a letter on a silver platter. And I received that letter in 2012, 2013, 2014, and this act is done in 2015. And meanwhile, in 2015, the British courts have failed to hear my case because they can't hear my case on two counts. One is they swear a Privy Council oath to let anything against the Queen. Let is spelled L-E-T-T, and let means to condemn, which means that every Privy Council and every judge and every member of Parliament, everyone in the media, every book publisher and every literary agent swears this Privy Council oath to the Queen where they condemn anything against the Queen. But the powers that be realised that my application was true and the information in the Hidden King of England is true and that we own 40 royal marks from Queen Victoria showing that we're the royal family. And you only need 3 royal marks to show that you're the royal family. So instead of using the courts, which don't work because they've been taken over by the EU, they've used the Paris attacks to codify, the whole world focused on it, to codify that I'm the Prince Pretender and I've been marked as the 10-8, which means Tenant King. The Prince Pretender is Tenant King, and as Queen Elizabeth showing more to be illegitimate, tenant status goes more from...
Does this presage an actual transition in the crown?
Yeah, and it does. Yeah, it does. It really does. It awards me the House of Joseph because I was promised a house, and my first name is Joseph, and Joseph turns out to be the highest name. The second highest name is Nimrod, and the third highest name is Semiramis. So I've taken the House of Joseph, and you can see quite clearly in the documents and then how it relates in the Paris attacks, how the House of Joseph is about manifesting magic and going from Queen Victoria's conception, 4-8s, to striking Queen Elizabeth II with a black wand, 3-8s, 88 days later, Paris attacks, and they paint an 8 on the floor. That's manifest magic, right? So that's the name Joseph, which is my first name. But if you take my second name and surname, which is Gregory Hallett, that's actually an anagram for Get T-R Holy Grail, which is an anagram for Get the Royal Holy Grail. Right? So my name that was given at birth is Manifest Magic Get the Royal Holy Grail. And they know this. I've told them, and they've gone, ah, it means nothing. And then they've thought about it and go, ooh, wow, I think we might use that. So they've used it to codify it in a world event, right? So this here is the Royal Holy Grail.
I think it's upside down.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It is the Royal Holy Grail because it says, assemble him claimant to the throne.
Yes.
That's the Royal Holy Grail. And my name is Get the Royal Holy Grail, and the Royal Holy Grail was given to me on a silver platter. It was given to me 3 times, 2012, 2013, 2014, and again in these Paris attacks, the Bataclan operetta is about having a letter on a silver platter handed to the person, and it says, you are now the emperor.
It's all dumbfounding, Greg. It's all dumbfounding.
Well,
and if this were to come to pass, could we ever have a normal conversation again?
Yeah, of course. All my conversations are normal. Haven't you noticed? This is what normal is. This is the new normal.
Well, what I meant was, between friends as we are now, once one assumes certain roles, a whole lot of obligations and consequences attend thereto.
Well, actually, you know, you don't actually have to acknowledge a royal as a royal unless they have their feet covered, their hand covered, and their head covered.
Really?
Unless they're wearing shoes, gloves, and a hat. Shoes, hats, and gloves. Yeah.
So, you know, those are the signs of the position.
Yeah, so, you know, when the royals go, they used to go on holiday in the 1800s to the west coast of Paris, France. And they all used to take their shoes off and their gloves off and their hats off and treat each other as commoners. You know? Barrettes.
As regular, normal people.
Yeah, so Queen Victoria used to go there. She used to go to Barrettes. She actually went to Barrettes more than she went to London. She would spend 1 month in Barrettes for every day she spent in London.
Would she sun herself on the beach?
Yeah, yeah, and on the yacht. Yep, she used to take her son there, Marcus Manuel, who's Prince Marcus Manuel, who's here. And he's the only legitimate child of Queen Victoria. So it's through him that we get the British royal family. And he's codified as Peter Pan. But before we get into that, in the last interview we did, we had a whole lot of codes that I was talking about, and you know, you were quite surprised with that. But I actually left one of the codes out, which is really important, and because that code was there as well, they built up Paris attacks, because you get a few codes, it's real, you recognize them, so they're not wasting them, and you publish them on the internet, you write them up, publish them on an interview with Dr. Jim Fetzer, Emeritus Professor, and then they do more codes, and they hope that you acknowledge those, and these are all the path to kingship, where people watch the interviews and see the events unfolding in public through time in 3D, then they realize, oh, it is true. It can't not be true because there's too much coincidence. Correlation.
Coincidence
and correlation.
Yeah. Greg, we're about to take a break. Is it better to start this with a second segment or to add it now?
I'll add it now in a couple of minutes. I did a fundraiser with Indiegogo to get this letter here authenticated, right? And I wanted £50,000.
Upside down again.
Yeah. I wanted £50,000, right, because you've got to hire the right people, you've got to get security. The machines to analyze it cost €2 million, and there's various machines, and there's all these consultants and experts, so-called, and you've got to prove your providence, and it takes quite a while, right? So I applied for the money, and what I got was £314 for 19 days. So I was stuck on £314. No one put any other money in for 19 days. 314 is the number of the Metatron, which is Christianized as the Archangel Michael and Saint Michael, and it is mythologized as Saint George and the Dragon, and it was last personified as Joan of Arc, who was burnt on the stake, supposedly, when she was 19 years old. Right, so I had £314 for 19 days. 314 means Joan of Arc, burnt on the stake, aged 19. In the Bible, day equals a year. And Joan of Arc was the last person to successfully challenge the British Crown throne, the British Crown Army. Right, and it means St. George and the Dragon. So what they did to codify this is they got a statue of Joan of Arc as St. George and the Dragon and stuck her outside the church that Queen Victoria married in Mont Saint-Michel on Britain's Mother's Day. And what it does also is it marks me as St. George and the Dragon, like Joan of Arc. And from that, they could do the Paris attacks and codify them for me because they realized that I was getting the codes. Not a lot of money, but I was getting the codes.
Well, we certainly hope, wish you a different fate than Joan.
Well, she actually survived. They faked the burning on the fire. But the idea with you survive fire is you're a dragon. That's what it means. If you survive the burning by fire, you're a dragon. And Joan of Arc went on to marry and buy real estate. There's actually a documentary on it.
Craig, I love it. I love it. Is this a good time, my friend, to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, with my very special guest, the most remarkable revisionist historian the world has ever known, Greg Hallett. We'll be right back.
We can now say, and considerable scientific authority, that the death of JFK was by a meticulously executed conspiracy which was obscured by an extensive cover-up. Murder in Dealey Plaza, edited by James Fetzer, goes to the heart of the JFK assassination. You'll read new and up-to-date information regarding the Secret Service, the Lincoln limousine, the medical evidence, the cover-up, altering the film, framing the patsy, and the silent historians. Also, 16 smoking guns, each one crushing the government's lone assassin scenario. A world-class chronology of November 22nd, 1963. Chapters by David W. Mantic, Gary Aguilar, Vincent Palomara, Douglas Weldon, Jack White, Ira David Wood III, James H. Fetzer, Doug Horn, and a classic essay by Bertrand Russell. The complete story in the pages of one single book, edited by James H. Fetzer. Read it now. Read it again. You'll use it as a reference. Murder in Dealey Plaza. Available at Amazon.com and major bookstores around the world. It's murder.
Less than 3% of you people read books. But less than 15% of you read newspapers. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. Television is not the truth. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds.
Broadcasting live on network radio.
So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off and leave them off.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
We're ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting, Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, continuing my conversation with the man I regard as the world's greatest revisionist historian. Greg, please do continue.
Okay, so what I want to do now is establish that the Paris attacks were about Queen Elizabeth II, and they were about me. And we get that through the name of the band and the people who played in the band. And the band that was playing in the Bataclan Theatre was called Eagles of Metal Death.
Right? Yes, I think that's a very strange name, but indeed that was the band.
Yeah, so what Eagles of Metal Death conjures up is the Foo Fighters from World War II, as well as the Nazi swastika. It's the Foo Fighters from World War II, which was the UFO, right? So the UFO of Vrilcraft, V-R-I-L, crashed in 1936 in Freiburg, F-R-E-I-B-U-R-G, in the center of Germany. Now, my great-grandfather, Ernest Godwin, was acknowledged as the world's foremost authority on the combustion engine in the 1930s. And he was worth about $200 to $300 million in today's money. And he employed Mark Twain, a.k.a. Samuel Clemens, as his vice president. And his business was at 280 Broadway, New York. And pretty much every year, he used to take a ship from New York through the Panama Canal to San Francisco, then to Auckland, and then to Invercargill, where he had 10 children. Apparently, he died on a ship in the Western Mediterranean near Marseille on the 2nd of December 1936, where two ships collided, and one, the ship that he was in, he died the day before, apparently, on the 2nd of December, 1936, and then the next day the ship collided. Now, in the Mediterranean, you're not allowed to bury a body at sea. And when the ship collided, the ship he was on, which is the SS Mongolia, that was laid up for 2 years for repairs. So his body went missing. Now, his mansion at Queens Drive, Windsor, his patents and his fortune went missing, and his 10 children, one of whom was my grandmother, were left with nothing, and they didn't do anything about it. Now, before the war, the Nazis were stealing scientists. Now, my great-grandfather's invention was the Godwood, his main invention. He invented a lot of things, including the egg beater, you know, that spins around the eggs. He invented that. And he invented the Godwood vaporizer, which was better than the carburetor. And he was getting 33 miles per gallon in 1910, running on petrol, diesel, kerosene, methylated spirits, alcohol, and vegetable oil. So he was a forerunner on alternative fuels.
Look at the regression since then, Greg. If only we had his standard available, the world would be immeasurably richer and probably ecologically cleaner.
Yeah, I know. He was also a linguist and a public speaker, and he played a lot of instruments and sang, and he was a sportsman. He's a champion rower, cyclist, and swimmer. And he had blonde hair and blue eyes, and he was considered a perfect Aryan male. So, as well as that, as well as being acknowledged as the world's foremost authority on the combustion engine, so he was really a target for the Germans. And from 1900 to 1910, you could learn German off the streets of New York. You know, it was give or take whether it would be a German language there or an English language. So the Germans obviously knew about him, and Mark Twain was his vice president, and they were based 800 yards from Nikola Tesla, and Mark Twain was friends with Nikola Tesla, who was also kidnapped in 1957, and he lived for many more years. So my great-grandfather was taken to Hüneburg, in northwest Germany, to back in engineer the downed Vrilcraft, or UFO, or Foo Fighter, which is the name of a band. Foo Fighter is the name of a band. Eagles of Metal Death is the name of a band. And the name 11 is also the name of a band. And these are all related to the band that was playing in the Bataclan Theatre. And the number 11, or the name 11 for a band, refers to the German Foo Fighter crashed in 1936 and the American Foo Fighter crashed in 1947 Area 51. What's that area called?
With the Roswell.
So the Roswell crash was in 1947, and it's 11 years between the two. Right? So the names of the band, the bands Eagles of Metal Death, Foo Fighters, and 11 all relate to UFOs.
Eagles of Death Metal.
Eagles of Death Metal, yeah. So they all relate to Foo Fighters, which my great-grandfather, Ernest Robert Godwood, was stolen, lock, stock, and barrel, to back engineer, and they were flying by 1939 and right through the war. And they were in a physical state as metal, but they're also reported by World War II pilots as being in a light state. And in one instance, one of the Foo Fighters in a light state came through the tail of a World War II plane and went right through the whole fuselage of the plane. So back then, which is about 80 years ago, they had technology that was so far advanced from what we have, but we do see it in sci-fi movies. And sci-fi movies are the way that the military industrial complex tells you, we've got this.
Well, it's just fascinating to me how deliberately the technology has been suppressed to make engines less efficient, consuming more oil and gasoline for the benefit of the companies. I mean, it's like the Tucker, you know, when he created a better car, Detroit crushed him as a company to get it off the market.
Okay. So, Eagles of Death Metal is a really terrible band. It's appalling. They are really bad. They're really bad. The comments they get on YouTube on their Speaking in Tongues video is, this shit is so fake. Is anybody buying this crap? They're part of this whole war on terror bullshit. Their music sounds like somebody made it up in a hurry. It goes nowhere, and they've made a million photos of themselves. This band is fake. We better wake the fuck up, people. Something's going on. And then Eagles of Death would be a better name, or We Suck even better. I mean, they are really terrible. They're really terrible. And one of the songs written by one of the musicians when he is 36 is when he's 34. Josh Hughes wrote this song called I Got a Feeling Just 19. And it's like a pedophile's grooming song. You know, look it up. It's just utter crap. But here's the correlation. Eagles, because we want to establish, you know, is the Bataclan Theatre attacks related to the Queen, right? Related to Queen Elizabeth II. So the Eagles of Death Metal drummer Josh Holm is the longest standing and only continuous surviving member of the band Queens of the Stone Age, 1996 to 2015, where he was lead vocals, guitar and keyboards, not drums. And Queens of the Stone Age had Dave Grohl as the drummer, 2001 to 2002, and Jack Black joined for the Queens of the Stone Age Memorial Concert in 2008 when a band member died. And Jack Black is also on Dave Grohl's Foo Fighter 1999 Learn to Fly video. So the people who played in Eagles of Death Metal also played in Queens of the Stone Age and also played in the band Foo Fighters. Right?
Yep.
All of which either relate to me as the great-grandson of Ernest Robert Godwood or to Queen Elizabeth II. Now, Jack Black was the vocalist guitarist of Tenacious D, with Dave Grohl on drums, and in the 2001 movie Tenacious D, Dave Grohl played the devil. And Tenacious D is homophonous with the Mossad motto, audacity, audacity, audacity. Tenacious D, audacity. Right? So Tenacious D is a Mossad band. Right? And Jack Black has got a Jewish mother. He went to a Jewish school, and his father is a Judaic convert.
And the audacity idea is to simply be so overwhelming and blatant, no one would believe it could be done this way. I mean, if that's an aspect of make war by deception, audacity.
Yeah, but the Paris attacks are audacity, audacity, audacity. They got Mossad written all over them.
Yes.
Yeah? Now,
I'm looking at this photograph, Greg, which is on page 15. It's allegedly in the theater, but it looks phony. It looks Photoshopped. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Tell me about that.
Well, I've added some text on the back, which reads, Mossad officer training, audacity, 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 graduation bash, 11/13/15, Bataclan. No cell phone photos.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that's clearly got to be staged.
No cell phone photos.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've identified all the Jews, and a lot of the people who were active crisis actors in the audience are wearing red or orange.
Yeah.
This front's obviously Jewish, and he's got a red and orange band in front of him.
Right.
Yeah? And this woman here next to my finger is wearing devil's horns. Right?
I don't know why that corner. Oh, that's a different photo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a different photo. It's on page 17.
Yeah, yeah, let me go down to it. Yeah.
She's wearing devil's horns. And then in the movie Tenacious D, Dave Grohl plays the devil. Yeah?
Yeah, and, yeah, I see the devil's horns. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And Jess Hughes' nickname is the devil. He's called Jess the Devil Hughes. Right? So you got two guys in the band, and they play in each other's bands, and they go in each other's YouTube movies. And two of them are called the devil. So one's the devil and one's Satan.
Was this actually supposed to be a Mossad officer's training graduation bash?
That's what it is. If you look at the people, you can see some people in there that are so completely Jewish. If you look at the two guys there, here.
Yeah.
Look at the size of the noses on them.
I don't know. This has made it into the major media that this was a Mossad party.
Yeah, because they're getting audacious, right?
Very audacious. I mean, this is simply outrageous.
The reason they're getting audacious is because 2 weeks before the Paris attacks, David Cameron gave British intelligence to the Mossad.
You are kidding.
No.
What in God's name? That's a betrayal of the crown, Greg.
It's a betrayal of everything, and that's why the
betrayal of England.
That's why the newspaper articles, the subheadings on page 1, 4, and 5 read like this. Intelligence failures that cost dear. That's.
Yeah, I'm looking.
See that?
Yeah.
Intelligence failures that cost dear. Okay, and another one goes, a new test for adversary with total self-belief. So David Cameron has total self-belief, and he's, he is the adversary. And then zombie-like killer.
The adversary.
Adversary, sorry.
What is wrong with this man?
And then this one here.
Yeah.
Mastermind despised and disowned by his own family.
Right.
That's referring to David Cameron.
It is.
Who a few weeks prior had been published as the Kushan, sticking his dick in a live pig's mouth. Yeah?
Yeah.
But the pig represents the Jew. So David Cameron's got his dick in the Jew's mouth, and they can bite his dick off at any time. That's how controlled he is. And David, Prime Minister of United Kingdom, David Cameron, has just handed over British intelligence to the Mossad because they have total control over David Cameron because he is compromised and mind controlled.
Is Cameron totally. Another pedophile?
Worse. He's coming up for the pedophiles as well. It's just like, you know, if you, all of the hopes you had for Palace of Westminster, the British government, the British courts and the monarchy, invert them. And then that's where you've got reality. Just invert your expectations. Yeah.
Greg, it's beyond bizarre.
It's beyond bizarre. It is. Okay. So here we are now. I'll read out the correlation between the all of these guys are friends. They all play in each other's bands and they all go in each other's movies. So Jess the Devil Hughes founded and plays in Eagles of Death Metal, Foo Fighter, and is the longest reigning member of Queens of the Stone Age, seeing Queen Elizabeth II back to the Stone Age. Hughes also plays in Them Crooked Vultures. The Foo Fighters founder Dave Grohl plays in Queens of the Stone Age, Them Crooked Vultures, and Tenacious D, Audacity, the band, and acts as the devil in Tenacious D, the movie. And there's the devil in the picture there on the left-hand side there, or right-hand side.
Yeah, yeah.
Got horns on the woman, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Jewish Jack Black is code for the Prince Who Came From Nowhere. Jack Black is code for the Jack of Spades, which is code for the Prince Who Came From Nowhere. And for the last 18 months, I've been just walking past and a street magician will appear and they've just been pulling out the Jack of Spades out of nowhere, you know, just repeatedly. Different magicians, it's just all the time they pull out the Jack of Spades, which means the Prince Who Came From Nowhere. And there's Bible codes for this, and it means Prince Who Came From a Brother Nation.
And this is you.
That's me, yeah, yeah. So the Jewish Jack Black, code for the Prince Who Came From Nowhere, played in Queens of the Stone Age, Tenacious D band, and the Tenacious D movie. And Tenacious D is homophonous for audacity and audacious massard. And that is total audacious massard. They're having their officer training Mossad bash.
And then they're going to turn it into an audacious, staged, phony attack.
Yeah, yeah, which is also dethroning the Queen. So, because what happens is they do an exercise, which was done in the morning, which is all the police and ambulance in case there's an attack. And the police and ambulance and rescue squads is the Hospitaliers. It's the old Templars Hospitaliers. So the Templars were in on it. And then they have the real attack in the evening, as they do again and again and again. So they all do cameos in each other's music videos and movies. So it's a tight click with the two devils, which is, I think it's Josh Hughes and Dave Grohl. They're both called the devil. Well, they play the part of the devil. One ring to Satan's.
Greg, was that announcement that there was a Mossad officer trained actually up there at the theater?
No. I put that on.
All right, that's what I wanted to know. That seems so strange. Yeah,
it just might as well have been there if it was a
might
sign.
Might as well have been. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Sign up. It wouldn't have made any difference. So the Eagles of Death Metal band is code for audaciously and tenaciously send Queen Elizabeth II back to the Stone Age. But here's where it gets even more interesting. The Eagles of Death Metal audaciously and tenaciously sent Queen Elizabeth II back to the Stone Age becomes more pronounced when Jess the Devil Hughes made a 2004 solo album called A Pair of Queens. So it's about the Queen again. And Joss Home featured in the 2005 Queen, the band, Queen tribute album called Killer Queen, with the song Stone Cold Crazy, and he played with the band 11. Difference between 1936 and 1947 is 11 years. It's been the two Foo Fighters, one in Germany, one in America. And Joss Home featured in the 2005 Queen tribute album called Killer Queen with the song Stone Cold Crazy with the band 11. I call it the Paris Gullibility Shock
Test.
Did you skip
the Sheer Heart Attack album?
Yeah, well, I might have. Hang on. The I call it the Paris Gullibility Shock Test on 11/13/15, where the lyrics of Killer Queen were carried out 88 days after Queen Elizabeth II was struck with a black wand. So I struck Queen Elizabeth with a black wand, and I did that as Lord Guardian Arch Treasurer of the Royal Secret. So I struck her with a black wand on the 17th of August.
And then did that occur only symbolically, or did that occur physically?
No, I did it in the courts. I lodged documents and registered in the courts. I had a case going since the 14th of April.
So the striking with a black wand wasn't a physical black wand, it was a legal wand.
Yeah, it's a legal wand, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it with a physical wand as well. But the ones who have done it traditionally with a physical wand have actually been the monarch's agents.
and may or may not have had much of a life thereafter.
Yeah. So the lyrics of Killer Queen were carried out in the Paris attacks. And they read like this. She keeps Moët and Chandon in her pretty cabinet. Let them eat cake. She says just like Marie Antoinette. That's referring to the French royalty. A built-in remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time an invitation, you can't decline. So there's the Mossad officer training bash. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice. Chorus, she's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind, any time, recommended at the price, insatiable in appetite, want to try. So this 1974 song, Queen's 1974 song, which is off the Sheer Heart Attack album, was like preemptive band programming where they modeled the Paris attacks on Queen's song, on Queen's Sheer Heart Attack song. With the song Killer Queen, they used gunpowder, gelatine, and dynamite, or appeared to. Yeah? Guaranteed to blow your mind. And the Paris attacks did blow everyone's mind, even when people uncovered that it was fake. And then when uncovered that it's a whole series of codes, it still keeps blowing the mind. So, yeah, so it's 18. So it carries on. She kept the same address. She met a man from China. So she spoke just like a baroness, met a man from China, went down to Geisha Minor, then again, incidentally, if you're that way inclined. Now, met a man from China in the Bataclan operetta. The three French people were dressed in Chinese clothing, pretending to be Chinese. And throughout the play, one Frenchman said, well, I'm actually French, and then took off his Chinese disguise. And then the next person says, oh, well, I'm actually French, and took off their Chinese disguise, you know. So the song actually says, met a man from China, went down to Geisha Minor, then again, incidentally. So it's actually saying that it's about two French people and China, right? And then again, and then it says, the lyrics, perfume came naturally from Paris.
Greg, all this is so obscure on its face, I don't think anyone else in the world could interpret it as you're doing so here.
And what, you're saying it's too wild, or it's accurate?
No, it's just, you know, it's creativity, artistic license. They put this together. I mean, I'm not disputing your interpretation. I'm saying it seems to me you're virtually the only man in the world who could have figured this out.
Yeah, well, that actually did occur to me. But, you know, it's to see if the Paris attacks are about Queen, and the bands all play with UFOs, and the bands all play with Queen, and a band called The Queen, and they did tribute songs called Queen, and they did a tribute album called Queen, and the tribute song Killer Queen talks about perfume in Paris. Met a man from China, gunpowder, gelatine, and dynamite. You know,
just offhand, did anyone die in Paris?
No one died in Paris attacks. No one died in Paris attacks. But 56 people die every 24 hours in Paris on average. So, you know, they had license to say 56 people have died, and then the next day at 1 minute past midnight to say 112 people have died in Paris. And the day after that, they had licensed.
And that's just because of the natural or accidental occurring deaths in Paris, not to do with the event.
Yeah. And
isn't that something?
That's bizarre, because they say in Paris.
Then you could even confirm the numbers, and the numbers would verify that that many people had died in Paris, leaving out the part that it wasn't because they were killed by terrorists.
Well, if you get, so 168 people die in Paris every 3 days, right? And they finally ended up with a number like 129 or 140 people died in Paris. And that's giving themselves the number that die over about 66 hours. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you gotta look at what the media is, right? And the media is infotainment. The media, the news is not the news. Its brief is infotainment. It does not have to be accurate at all, and it is not accurate at all.
There ought to be a law, but yes, I understand what you're saying exactly. And that's, of course, particularly true of television reports, where more propaganda and disinformation is transmitted in less time than ever before in world history.
Yeah, it's called depleting emetics. So they start off with all the same stories, so it's all the same channels, and then you've got different various medias putting out contrary stories so that it doesn't stack up in your head, and your head gets tired very quickly when things don't add up, and that's called depleting emetics, and it means that you lack an interest in the story and you lack an interest in investigating the story. And that's what's happened, is that people got switched off. A lot of people took the initial shock and said, okay, so 140 people have died in Paris. I'm sympathetic. Where can I send money? And then switch off, you know. And other people go, hang on a minute, none of this stacks up. They're all just reticulated dummies. And it's a Mossad officer training, audacity, audacity, audacity bash with the people who play in Tenacious D, which is homophonous with audacity, and they've all been in Queens of the Stone Age or Foo Fighters or Eagles of Metal Death or Eleven, and the Queen's Killer Queen album describes the Paris attacks, and so the whole thing was preemptive programming. It's just like, you know, when Bart Simpson's on the front cover of a magazine, and he's pointing to the Twin Towers, and he's got 9P, and it actually reads 9/11.
Yes.
That's preemptive programming. Obviously, those creators knew that it was going to happen. And it appears that the band Queen either knew that the Paris attacks were going to happen, or that the Mossad and the other intelligence operations, including America and Britain and Germany and France and South Africa, based the attacks on Queen's Killer Queen album to label Queen Elizabeth II sent back to the Stone Age because I had struck her with a black wand and made a successful challenge to the throne.
Yes.
You know?
And they have not been able to block this in the courts, Greg, because if the courts are committed to protect the Queen, you would presume they would have simply refused to accept it.
You would think. Like, if the British courts had any integrity whatsoever, they would say, we don't have any subject matter jurisdiction, please go elsewhere. Right? Instead, what they did was they got two incredibly corrupt judges. They used, first of all, when I lodged it in the Worcester Court, I didn't know why I lodged it in Worcester. I was living in Hereford at the time. But about 200 yards down the road from the Worcester Court is where King John I is buried, who signed the Magna Carta. Queen Victoria's firstborn son, Prince Marcos Manuel, he became King John II of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland from 1869 to 1910. And what I've been doing with my work is, it's called Purifying the Sword, where I've been correcting the history. So I've corrected the history of the Duchy of Saxe, Coburg and Gotha, and therefore the House of Saxe, Coburg and Gotha, and therefore purified the sword of the Duchy of Saxe, Coburg and Gotha, which is the second or third house of the British royal family, supposedly. But we own the sword of the Duke of Saxe, Coburg and Gotha. So we own the second house of the British royal family. And we also own the second or third house, the second and third house we own. We also own the Principality of Hanover. So we've got the royal chalice marking that and the royal seal. And so what I'm doing now with the approaching the British courts to be recognised as the Prince Pretendant of the Throne and Crown of the United Kingdom from 3 p.m. on the 1st of March 2015, is I'm purifying the sword of King John I, who's got a shocking reputation, purifying the sword of King John II, who was barely acknowledged as a king, except that on his coronation day, on the 6th of October 1869, which is St. Bruno's Day, that Queen Victoria also opened the Holborn Viaduct and Blackfriars Bridge. So you've got 100,000 people walking over these bridges every day, right? So you've got 100,000 people acknowledging King John II of England every day. Yeah?
Implicitly, unknowingly.
Yeah, well, they know now. They know now, right? So what I'm doing is as Prince Pretendant of the position of King John III, these Paris attacks have effectively confirmed the House of Joseph, and they've confirmed for the fifth time, I've been confirmed as Prince Pretender to the Throne and Crown of the United Kingdom in three dimensions, in 3D, in actions, because the courts are useless, and the courts will do anything that the British monarchy wants them to do, because they swear an oath to the Queen. Right? But the Queen actually wants to abdicate to me, and she has abdicated to me with the laws of succession, which she backdated in 2014 to 25th of April 2013, which is Marcus Manuel's birthday, 179th birthday, and it's also the day in which I was registered as a member of the Star Family, which places me above Queen Elizabeth II. So Queen Elizabeth II has actually acknowledged me as above her. So she's required to abdicate to me, and if she organized Paris attacks to acknowledge me, she could not have done a better job.
That's just stunning. It's just stunning, Greg.
So, what, I know this, how do you call them? It's not a super soldier, it's way above super soldier. And he says to me, it's not the people, it's the people beneath the people stopping you getting to your position that you have to worry about it. So Queen Elizabeth II could be going, okay, well, look, you know, he's obviously predicted, he's got all the material, he's written the books, he's got 40 royal marks, he's created, he's affected the laws of succession, I've backdated the laws of succession to acknowledge him, I'm acknowledging him as much as I can, and everyone beneath her will sabotage.
So they won't even defer the Queen's wishes because they prefer the status quo to what might succeed her.
There's another rule, which I mentioned earlier, but I forgot to mention it. It's that the British royal family and the European royal families, because I'm a member of the Star Family, they cannot say anything against me. They cannot say anything against me. And the word say comes from assay, A-S-S-A-Y. And that means they can't judge me, they can't put me on trial, they can't say anything negative against me, they can't belittle me. They can't say anything against me.
You know, it's so fascinating, Greg, because here in the United States, there's utter lawlessness, there's no decorum, there's no propriety, no one respects any tradition, any legacy, not even the Constitution. So there's something about the purity of their adherence to these constraints that is utterly remarkable to me in this day and age.
Well, straight after the Paris attacks, the next day was the Lord Mayor's show, which is the Lord Mayor of London's day, where he puts on a big show. And it was massively cold, severely cold that day, and it was raining, and they had all the blue-black security out, and not many people turned up, and there was no fireworks. Right? And on the, also on the same day, but in Perth, Charles Prince of Wales, had his 67th birthday in Perth, which is it's a warm place, Perth, and it's in November, so it's the beginning of summer. And he had rain and lightning, they're all getting sabotaged. And the reason they're getting sabotaged by nature is they've flipped everything on their head. They've got a fake royal family sitting on the throne. Queen Elizabeth II was not crowned on the coronation stone because the coronation stone was stolen 2 days before. When Queen Elizabeth II was born in 1926, her mother was not a mother. Her father was not a father. She was conceived by artificial insemination. She was born above a pub. And the BBC went public the same year to promote the commoner Elizabeth as a princess and as a queen. And the reason they did that is because the people that own the Bank of England, the Rothschilds, particularly Mayor Amschel Rothschild, he made a prediction in RAT, in the Rothschild Archive Trust. That's where it's kept. He made a prediction that said, from the time of his death, which turned out to be 19 September 1812, for 200 years or so, basically the Rothschilds would have control of the British royal family and would breed into the British royal family. And that ends around the 19th of September 2012 or so. And then after that, the secret is allowed to come out. And I was predicted to bring out the secret in about 1837. So they write down all the criteria of me. So I do that and bring out the secret. So what's happened is that generation's illegitimate, that generation's illegitimate, that generation's illegitimate. That's actually a mistake there. That's illegitimate, that generation's illegitimate, that generation's illegitimate, that's illegitimate, and that's illegitimate. So by the time you get to Queen Elizabeth II, she is five times illegitimate over five generations. Queen Elizabeth II is actually the most illegitimate person in the world.
Greg, how can the royal court historians, of course, when you have a hereditary monarchy, they're focusing on these issues of genealogy, have got it so wrong?
Well, what's amazing is, like, I went to the London Book Fair in April this year, 2015, and they did not want to know me. They actually did not want to know me. I got into the royal section, and there was this woman there who was selling books of photographs of the royal paintings in Windsor Castle. And those paintings are actually owned by the British public, but they're stored in Windsor Castle, and, you know, you can maybe see them, maybe pay to see them, but you can't see all of them. And she was on a show very recently in the last couple of weeks talking about the relationship between Queen Victoria and her husband, actually her second husband, Prince Albert. And they were literally sitting around a table making shit up. They were actually making stuff up. And the way they cut it, it sounded like, you know, it was a little bit of contentious, but they all agreed with each other. And the same with the royal biographers. They just make stuff up. Now, Princess Beatrice was Queen Victoria's secretary, and she hand-copied all of Queen Victoria's diaries when Queen Victoria died. She hand-copied them, edited them vastly, took all the saucy bits out, took all references to her firstborn son, Prince Marcos Manuel, out, rewrote them, and burnt all of the originals, which is about 70 years of diaries.
Who undertook that project?
Princess Beatrice. Yeah, Queen Victoria's youngest, right? So now you got all these royal biographers who are going by Princess Beatrice, who was a PR agent to make the British royal family appear legitimate, and they're all going smugly, yeah, we've got this right, because we've got Queen Victoria's diaries. But Queen Victoria's diaries don't exist. It was the biggest history burning in recent history.
She took the real diaries and rewrote them.
Rewrote them and burnt the originals.
And weren't the originals in Queen Victoria's hand?
Yes, they were.
So obviously the rewritten were in Beatrice's hand.
Yes.
But have they sought a comparison of the handwriting?
No, because they just make shit up and they don't investigate themselves.
They just take it as a given that these are authentically Victoria's and never even entertain the conjecture that Beatrice could have perpetrated a fraud.
Yeah. And we've got confirmation that Queen Victoria was married to, if you can see it, to Blind King George V of Hanover, because Queen Victoria held on to the crown of Hanover for 29, almost 30 years. Right? So just imagine, like, her father-in-law, her real father-in-law, is the King of Hanover from 1837 to 1855. And Queen Victoria's got the crown of Hanover, and she won't give it back. And the King of Hanover does nothing about it. And then his son, who's actually Queen Victoria's first husband, he reigns for 7 years as the King of Hanover without the crown. And then after 7 years, Queen Victoria gives him the crown of Hanover. She kept the crown of Hanover because she was actually the Queen of Hanover.
And of course, we're talking about the physical crown.
The physical crown, the actual stick on your head crown.
Right.
So how do you get crowned? How do you get crowned King of Hanover?
If you don't have the crown.
So, you know, that was a very contentious, unexplained piece of history.
What about the theft of the coronation stone 2 days in advance? How did that come about? Has it been returned?
2 years in advance, no. That was stolen by four Lewishmen, which means the sons of Freemasons. One was a girl in Scotland, so they're university guys. And they stole it at 4 p.m. on Christmas Day, 1950. Right? And then they took it to Scotland and supposedly broke it on the way. And then they gave it to a Scottish Freemason who was a stonemason, and he made a duplicate. But the duplicate was 122 pounds lighter. Right? And then they wrapped the duplicate up in a Scottish flag, contacted the British authorities and said the coronation stone is here wrapped in the Scottish flag. Come pick it up. So the British grab the fake coronation stone, take it back to Westminster for Princess Elizabeth to become crowned Queen Elizabeth II on, but it's a fake. And everyone knows that Queen Elizabeth II is a fake because she was born above a pub by artificial insemination and George VI.
What were they doing stealing the stone in the first place, given its enormous significance in British history?
The door was open. The door to Westminster Cathedral was open. So they just walked in.
Yeah, but, I mean, what motivated them? You know, was this like a prank?
No, they were instructed to by Freemasons, by their fathers who were Freemasons. And they, in turn, were instructed by the Stuarts, because the Freemasons worked for the Stuarts, to put the Stuarts on the royal throne. And they were given instructions from the Rothschilds to steal the coronation stone, because by 1852, it was another 60 years before the end of the Shin or Forbidden Secret, where the Rothschild royal families would be discarded from the throne of England. So they had to start delegitimizing more obviously the British royal family, right? So not being crowned over a coronation stone is a good way to delegitimize Queen Elizabeth II. But all of these generations of kings were illegitimate. Like Queen Victoria was the daughter of Baron Jacob Mayer of Rothschild, who was French, but she legitimized herself by marrying the second in line to the throne and then having a child, which was Prince Marcus Manuel, who became King John II of England in 1869. I mean, that's the legitimate crown line. So to continue the illegitimacy, Queen Victoria, in her second big miscarriage, married Albert, who's not Albert of Sachsen, Coburg, and Gotha. He's actually Albert of Saxony, which means he's illegitimate. And then Lionel Nathan de Rothschild, who owned a bank in London, he actually put Queen Victoria under Baron Dungo and had 9 illegitimate, bigamously born, slow children. And then the slowest, maddest, and nuttiest of them all was Bertie, Prince of Wales, who became King Edward VII. And he was in a horrible relationship with Alexandra, Princess of Denmark, right? So they go back to Denmark. Bertie, Prince of Wales, goes to Sweden on a hunting, rooting, shooting expedition, which is actually what they called it. You go out hunting, shag some woman, and then eat more, basically. That was all he did.
And what hunting, shagging, eating, that's what it was called?
Eating. Yeah, he'd basically go out hunting in the morning, he'd shag a woman, and then eat the whole day. That was all he did for his life. Seriously, that was all he did. If you read the you know, royal biographies. So they took Bertie, Prince of Wales, to from Denmark to Sweden, which was 9 days away. And he was away for 21 days, which ensured that he could not be the father, right? Meanwhile, Alexandra, who's Danish, Alexandra, Princess of Wales, she has a relationship with Tsarevich Alexander, who becomes Tsar Alexander the Third of Russia, and they have a child, who becomes King George V of England. All right? And 1929 to 32, his aide-de-camp was Vice Admiral Sir Theodore John Hallett. Now, George V marries Mary, and he realizes that his son, George VI, is slow. So he arranges George VI to go to New Zealand to have sex and have a child with the most sacred woman in New Zealand, Guide Rangi, and that becomes King George VII, who's actually George VII of England. And I was introduced to him by King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Doctor in 1967. And at the same time, they changed the currency of New Zealand from British pounds and pence to New Zealand dollars and cents. That King George VII, who's George Fitzradamer, he's actually the legitimate King of England because George VI was not the father of Queen Elizabeth. He was replaced because his first child, born in 1924, was epileptic, a son, so they left it to die on the gurney, hospital gurney. And then George VI was replaced with Winston Churchill's sperm. And Winston Churchill is the son, illegitimate son of King Edward VII. So he's half royal, but he's also half American. Which means that Queen Elizabeth II here is a quarter American, and this woman here, Elizabeth Bowes Lyon, right, she supposedly came from Glamis Castle. But she was engaged to Edward VIII for a week, and he said he was going to abdicate. So then the next week, she became engaged to the person who became King George VI. But Elizabeth Bowes Lyon realized that George VI was one IQ point above retarded, and the attention span of a gnat. It knocked knees. He's an alcoholic and a chain smoker. So Elizabeth Bowes Lyon scarpered and replaced her with her maid. And Elizabeth Bowes Lyon's maid, who comes from Ireland, married George VI. And then Winston Churchill's sperm into Elizabeth Bowes Lyon's maid via artificial insemination produced the half-Irish, quarter-American Queen Elizabeth II, who was born above a pub. in Coach and Horses Park in Mayfair, she was so illegitimate that the BBC, which was a private organisation started in 1922, as soon as she was born in 1926, the BBC was bought by the British government and went public. And the BBC's role is to promote the multiply illegitimate Queen Elizabeth II, or the ultimate, the multiply illegitimate Elizabeth Mountbatten, maybe, as a princess and as a queen. So she's so fake that when her father, George VI, died, or just before he died, he was sick in 1950, Christmas Day 1950, the true royalists, the Stuarts from Scotland, send their sons down, their Stuart sons down, with Rothschild blessings, who own the Bank of England, to steal the coronation stone so that Queen Elizabeth II, when she's crowned over a fake stone, is even more fake. So you're looking at the most fake royal in history. The most fake. Without a question. So she abdicates to me, and she has Charlie and...
Most fake, but has had one of the longest reigns.
Yeah, except I struck her with a black wand 23 days before she reached that longest reign. And then her being struck with a black wand and dethroned is all codified in the Bataclan Theatre, the Bataclan Operetta, the names of the bands, Eagles of Death Metal, Foo Fighters, Eleven, Killer Queen, Queen, Pair of Queens. And a Pair of Queens refers to this guy, Philip Mountbatten. Well, Prince Philip, who's illegitimate.
I didn't mean to cut off. You were going from Queen Elizabeth II to others there on the chart.
So what happened? What happened here? They're trying to make it as obviously as illegitimate as possible. So Lord Mountbatten, he arranges the marriage of his nephew Philip, who's got two suits and 20 pounds, to marry Princess Elizabeth, who's apparently wealthy. And then they run this as a heroin trafficking sex slave operation. And Prince Charles is born as a sex slave with Lord Louis Mountbatten extorting Elizabeth into marriage with Prince Charles, born a sex slave with Lord Louis Mountbatten, and then Anne, and then this whole thing here with Prince Philip, Lord Porchester, Lord Plunkett, Lord Louis Mountbatten. There's a heroin trafficking unit called the Triumvirate. And they use Queen Elizabeth II as the heroin trafficking mole. And to keep her quiet, the heroin trafficker, Lord Porchester, sides with Elizabeth, Prince Andrew, who's up on pedophile charges. And they get the heroin trafficker, Lord Plunkett, to sire a child with Queen Elizabeth, who's called Prince Edward. So you've got this heroin trafficking, sex slave, extortion unit of massive illegitimacy. And then Prince Charles is dating Camilla when he's 16, her 18th birthday. They sire a child, and that's Simon Charles Day. And then he marries a black woman, and they have six black children with five surviving. So you've actually got a black illegitimate royal family down here as well. The great-grandchildren of the massively illegitimate Queen Elizabeth II, who's never had the longest reign, was never crowned, has never been queen, has never been a princess, has never been a royal, and is a massively illegitimate commoner. And Prince Philip, who's a German DVD, Deutsche Wehrdienst Nazi, Lord Louis Mountbatten is a Nazi, he's a German Nazi. And Deutsche Wehrdienst Dienst means for them the war never ended. So the first stage of the game was to get Prince Philip to marry Princess Elizabeth and have children. The second stage of the game was for Prince Philip to get Ted Heath in as Prime Minister. He's a homosexual, bisexual pedophile child murderer, Prime Minister Ted Heath. And he was heavily compromised by Prince Philip and Lord Louis Mountbatten. And in 1973, got Britain into the European Union. That was the mid-stage of the game. And then the third stage of the game is Prince Philip is introducing all of these fake claimants to the throne to cover up the true claim to the throne, which is indicated by the letter and by the series of books, The Hidden King of England, I'm a Christian, Unveiling the Rose, which Queen Elizabeth II and her agents have fully acknowledged by not allowing the book sold in any bookshops, in any chains, in any independent bookshops, and having her British Army 77th Brigade trolls, it's called 77th Brigade, Army trolls attacking me on Facebook and attacking the websites and sabotaging interviews so that no one can read the Hidden King of England series to find out that this royal family is fake, this royal family is true, and I'm Lord Arch Treasurer, and that means I act for the King in England, and because of the legal case and the acknowledgement in the Paris attacks, acknowledging the Queen and me as the son of the Foo Fighters, really, creator, as the Prince Pretender and Tenant King. Tenant. So it's 10/8. You have 4/8, 3/8, 2/8, 1/8. It's 10/8, which means tenant. Tenant King. It means Tenant King, which is like acknowledgement of certified Prince Pretender one step above.
Greg, in the few minutes we have that remain, I'd like you to let everyone know how they could obtain copies of your book.
The website, theworldoftruth.net, and thehiddenkingofengland.com. I tell you how much censorship they've put on these books. They've allowed me to sell one set of books in England about every 6 weeks. So it's 5 books every 6 weeks.
And is that to maintain the pretense that they're not actually banning the book?
No, it's to you still hope you're going to sell some, so you fly them over and you bring them in, you still run with the program of selling books, but there's less than negative money in it. That's what they do, is it's basically suppression. It's just total suppression. And they've turned a lot of people who were actually close to me into army trolls, and there's been quite a bit of sabotage. Quite a lot. I'd say there's been as much sabotage in England as there was in New Zealand.
That's appalling, Greg, but considering the stakes, I'm really not surprised. TheHiddenKingOfEngland.com.
Yeah. So what happens is I'll try and get you a visual on this. If you see, that. So you got the 10/8.
Well, it's all in the article.
Yeah. So what happens is if you get the 10/8, and you put them one below the other, that's actually a DNA strand, right? Understand that?
Yeah.
And if you put the 8s on the side, and that means infinity, right? So what happens is you get these codes. So 8888, 888, 88, and 8. Read vertically is a DNA strand, and the 10/8 is code for Rex DNA strand. And the 88888, 88, 888, and then 88 and 8 is written as infinity, so it's 10 infinity symbols. It's code for God's adopted son, which is a Bible prophecy. And the Bible code for Rex DNA strand is in Ezekiel 21:27 and in Revelations 21:7 and 17:15. And it reads like this. A few minutes.
Squeeze it in.
Okay, it reads like this. I will overturn, destroy, and make a ruin of a perverted world until a perverted throne of David is no more. When he whose right it is comes, I will hand it to him. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and shall be God's chosen adopted son, selected from thy countrymen's brothers, and made a king who rules wisely. Put more simply, the Bible code reads like this. The Bible code for the numbers 8888, 8888, 88, and 8, and the Rex DNA strand of 10 infinities is: the world will fall to ruin. The tenant prince will be, 10/8 means tenant. Tenant prince will be handed the kingship on a silver platter, as it was in the Bataclan operetta. This prince will overcome all obstacles and inherit all things. God will select this prince from a brother commonwealth nation and render him a wise king. That's what they're actually working towards. They're actually trying to manifest this prediction and make it happen. So what happens then is we have the claims, et cetera, which is...
Great. You never cease to astound and amaze me. This is Jim Fetzer thanking my extraordinary guest, Greg Hallett, for being here, and all of you for watching.